Welcome to Food Life Freedom, the podcast that explores the relationship between nutrition, our physical health, and our mental well-being. In this very first episode, we are exploring the biological changes that happen in your body when you diet, so you can take away the guilt and blame you may have experienced when the diet doesn't work, because you don't fail a diet, the diet fails you. I'm Emma Townsend, a UK registered dietitian and a certified intuitive eating counselor. I support clients to stop stressing over food rules and to naturally eat in a way that supports their body and mind. This episode is brought to you by Reclaiming Your Food Freedom, a 3-month supported program that brings you all the tools and support you need for a healthy relationship with food and your body. To learn more about how you can reclaim your food freedom, head to foodlifefreedom.com. And because we are all unique, this episode cannot offer personalized advice. Please use this as an opportunity to learn and explore. But if something does not sit with you, then it's not meant for your unique self. And if you have any health concerns, please seek personalized support from a registered healthcare provider. So let's dive straight into this episode on why weight loss diets don't work. On any given day, almost 20% of women are currently on a diet. And in females 18 to 35 years old, 43% reported regular weight loss dieting. Some surveys show 90% of women have tried some sort of weight loss dieting in their life, and that on average, a woman spends 17 years of her life on a diet. Dieting is also increasing in male populations and among all genders. But what the vast majority of people experience is, at best, only short-term weight loss, ending up not being able to stick with the diet rules and most often regaining weight. If this is what you have experienced, you are not alone. When we look at research studies, mainly they are very short-term, like less than a year, and often they'll show some kind of weight loss for a significant portion of people. But long-term research is less common. Review articles looking into all the possible long-term studies of at least 2 to 5 years on weight loss dieting found that for 80 to 97% of the study populations, dieting did not work to achieve long-term weight loss. We also find that the idea of worked in these studies is simply making the body smaller. Rather than focusing on long-term health improvement, quality of life, and just how happy a person feels. The effects of the diet intervention on mental health and relationships with food and the reason for the large dropout rates are not looked at in weight loss studies. But we have a large body of research showing the harm dieting causes to our bodies, our mental health, and our relationship with food. So the fact that diets don't work for losing weight long-term is not a product of not having the motivation or not trying hard enough, because most dieters report more motivation to eat quote unquote right and trying harder than those who are not dieting. So what actually happens in our bodies when we restrict our food? Well, first up, when you eat less, your body uses less energy. What we hear of as calories is simply the units of energy a food supplies to our bodies. So in the same way that meters measures distance, calories measures the amount of energy supplied to our body cells. But we are not calorie in, calorie out machines. We hear that if you eat less, you will then burn your fat stores and lose weight. But our bodies don't work like this. Initially, when you start a diet, your body will likely draw on some energy stores. But if you keep eating less than your body needs, it will see this as a famine and biologically switch over to saving energy mode. It will limit the amount of processes going on inside your body so as to use less energy. This will happen at any body weight, not just what we perceive as a low weight. And importantly, everyone's body is different. We all have a different weight and shape that our bodies naturally gravitate to, and we all have a different response to famine. So for some people, body weight will drop more than it will for others when we're dieting, but this does not indicate long-term or healthy weight loss. If you have to diet or restrict food to reach or maintain a lower weight, then it is not your healthy weight. This slowing of metabolism or burning less calories from dieting will also trigger a cascade of other symptoms you may notice when you are dieting or limiting your food. For example, one area your body will save calories on is your brain function. It will keep essential processes going, but things like your focus and concentration are not essential for short-term survival. When your body enters survival mode, things like work tasks, self-care routines, and feeling engaged in a conversation with friends will be put on the back burner. These things are all important for our health and our well-being, but keeping your heart beating, your basic brain functioning, and your immune system working is more important. So when energy supplies are limited, your brain chooses to sacrifice your focus and concentration. And speaking of your immune system, this is another area that doesn't get the energy it deserves when food is limited. Your body will keep it running at a basic level, but there may not be enough energy to keep it running at its best. Some people notice they get more frequent colds, feel constantly run down, or take longer to recover from illness, for example, when they're dieting. Another bodily function that is commonly compromised when dieting is your gut function. Firstly, the limited energy available means less energy to go to digestion and movement within the bowel. Secondly, the muscles of the bowel can also be broken down to use as a protein or energy source, causing the gut to become weaker. And thirdly, the gut communicates strongly with the brain. There's new emerging evidence suggesting that stress and other emotion arises in the gut, and it's then communicated to the brain. So when the gut is stressed from not having enough energy, this is communicated to the brain. Some symptoms you may experience if your gut is affected by the lack of energy or calories being eaten are symptoms such as bloating, constipation, or other IBS-like symptoms, as well as things like increased stress and low mood. To further add to your stress, studies have shown that when low-calorie dieting, your body produces an increase in your stress hormone, cortisol. Cortisol is a hormone that is ideally produced in response to short-term stress to help us escape or handle an acute situation like running from a lion or running from an oncoming car. But nowadays, our stress can present more longer term. People can have long-term elevated cortisol from work stress or other life stress, for example, or from dieting. Cortisol makes us more alert and ready to act by increasing our blood pressure and increasing our heart rate. It also shuts off non-urgent processes such as digestion, because we don't want to be weighed down by other processes when we need to be alert to respond to a threat. As great as this is for a short-term stress response, when raised long-term, such as when dieting, it makes it more difficult to relax, makes it harder to sleep, affects our immune system, our mental health, as well as increasing our risk of future chronic disease, such as heart disease. So yeah, dieting is not so healthy. So as well as having body processes to reduce the energy our body uses when dieting, our body also has biological mechanisms to help increase the amount of food that we eat. Many people report obsessively thinking about food when they are dieting. And although it can feel like your body has it in for you or is trying to sabotage your diet, it's actually a sign your body is working with you. It's on your side. We often think of hunger as a grumbling in the stomach or other physical sensations we feel, but actually your body has many ways of communicating hunger with you. And one of the main ones is thinking about food. So when eating without a diet, it's natural to start thinking about food when you start feeling hungry again. And after eating, to stop thinking about food and have the headspace for other things. But if we're following a diet and not eating enough most days, your body is going to make you think about food a lot of the time. It's a natural response to hunger, whether you feel it physically or not. Some people may also experience periods of binge eating, emotional eating, or out of control eating experiences, such as eating a large amount of food in one go, despite feeling uncomfortably full and unwell. To start though, it is normal to eat more than is comfortable sometimes. But if this is happening a lot while you are dieting, it's really just your body's way of making the most of food while it is available, because it doesn't know when it will next have access to food. We seem to expect our body to feel full and satisfied at a comfortable level of fullness, even when we are not honoring our body's hunger and eating regularly throughout the day. But if your body doesn't know when the next meal or snack is going to come, or maybe the next time carbs will be allowed, of course it is going to want to eat as much as possible right now when food is available. To connect back with fullness, our body needs to first feel safe that it has enough food coming in. So if you have been getting frustrated that you can't stick with a diet, or your weight is cycling up and down from the diet cycle, maybe explore some of these biological processes and how you may relate to them. And remember, you don't fail the diet fails you. It really is possible to eat in a way that feels good and to feel good in your body, but food rules and restriction are not the way to get there. They create this fight with your body that goes round in circles and does not feel good. To feel at peace with food and eat consistently in a way that feels good without guilt, you need to stop fighting against your body and instead working with your body. So follow for more episodes where we will explore how you can create a peaceful connection with your body and a healthy relationship with food. If you have gotten something from this episode, do hit follow to see upcoming episodes and reach out on Instagram at food.life.freedom. To help more people eat without guilt and feel at peace in their body, leave a 5-star review and share it with your community by clicking the 3-dot symbol at the top of the episode. For show notes and references, head to foodlifefreedom.com/podcast. And to learn how you can get personalized support, head to foodlifefreedom.com. I'll see you next week.